Now, the doubling of the lateral rooms makes those lateral rooms project forward into our space, which creates an enclosed porch under the portico, very much like a Greek temple. We walk past the single row of simple Doric columns, and we're greeted by a series of large glass doors and windows, and side windows as well, which invite us in. In fact, break the sense of a complete wall. So we're drawn in from the east. And these, from the outside, we also have to note one other feature, which is that the classically proportioned windows are separated of the ground floor are separated by the attic windows of the upper floor by an entablature, again, another sort of separation between the windows, which demarcates for us publicly the different stories of the building. Okay. And what do we find when we enter the building? We walk into the great hall. And I want to quote a visitor. "You enter by a glass folding door into a hall which reminds you of Fielding's Man of the Mountain, by the strange furniture of its walls. On one side hang the head and horns of an elk, a deer and a buffalo. Another is covered with curiosities which Lewis and Clark found in their wild and perilous expedition. On the third, among many other striking matters, was the head of a mammoth, or as Cuvier calls it, a mastodon, containing the only os frontis, Mr. Jefferson tells me, that has yet been found. On the fourth side, in odd union with a fine painting of the Repentance of St. Peter, is an Indian map on leather of the southern waters of the Missouri, and an Indian representation of a bloody battle handed down in their traditions." So as we come in from the east, we're surrounded by natural scientific images of the west. From there, you go into the parlor, which is flanked by Jefferson's bedroom on the left, and the dining room and tea room to the right. These are the public rooms, and they are, in fact, the core rooms of the original design. They're marked out by being taller than the other rooms in the building, running all the way from the ground floor, from the ground all the way to the roof line of the entablature. Externally, they're distinguished from the garden facade by being offset from the octagonal bays that flank them, so that we can see clearly these are the public rooms. This is the core of the structure. The other rooms, those on the east, facing to the east, are in fact private rooms. And they're demarcated by very limited access. You can only get in through one door. They're single-story rooms, as we've mentioned, marked on the main facade by the entablature between the windows. So the east is private and the west is public, a symbolic expression of Jefferson's political convictions. Also, privacy and comfort are accented by extremely clever devices, like a brilliant dumbwaiter built into the side of the fireplace. Thus, service within the house is invisible. Wine can be served seemingly effortlessly by being almost miraculously drawn up this dumbwaiter. The stairways are in great contrast to that of most great plantation houses. Generally, as you walked into the hall, you would be greeted by a huge ostentatious staircase that wasted a great deal of space. And the purpose of it was to show that you could waste that kind of space. Jefferson instead goes for the intimacy and privacy of the European, particularly Parisian, townhouse. So rather than a great staircase, he has a series of smaller staircases built into the side rooms. And those staircases represent the same balustrade as we found on the outside along the roof line. We exit then the house from the parlor to look back at the garden facade. And again, we're struck by the monumental and massive effect. Its horizontality stressed by, again, entablature and balustrade, and the octagonal dome, which is supported by a cylindrical drum, which symbolically caps the mountain of Monticello. And this is a remarkable feature. In fact, I think a brilliant feature of Jefferson's vision. He is extremely site-specific and sensitive. He's making a structure which is in harmony with nature, which completes its natural surroundings. The overall effect of the building is to draw us in from the east, the realm of the private, and boldly project us like a projectile or a bullet into the west with a bold facade and a great sense of confidence. But Monticello is also, however, a hall of illusions or trompe-l'oeil. And the best way of looking at that is to look at one of the more traditional plantation houses, say Mount Vernon or Sabine Hall. And what one would see as one approached the main entrance would be that on flanking you along the main entrance drive would be a series of outbuildings, and these are known as dependencies.